You're listening to Around Comics, episode 225, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Afro Samurai, and Netflix. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, as always, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hi, what's going on? I was just reading an article.
I know, about us.
About us.
It's a little meta.
It's about mostly about how great Chicago is.
Greatest city in the universe.
We're just a touch of us inserting ourselves in. Sal is just focused.
I know.
On this article.
Sorry. This episode, Brian Salazar will be reading
the... I was fascinated by my own words in print. My voice in print, I've never seen it before.
Sal, how you doing?
I'm good.
He's got a mouthful
I'm
of pizza.
Pizza.
Jeffrey Brown brought pizza by, and you'll hear from Jeffrey next week. But this week, we have another one of our returning guests. He is the author of the Comic Book Podcast Companion, soon to be released from Tomorrow's Publishing. He's also been a contributing writer at Tomorrow's Publishing. He is Mr. Eric Houston.
Howdy.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right, you?
All right. Good. Cool. Good drive down from the Twin Cities today?
It was all right.
I noticed you drove here from...
Yeah, I did.
For this?
No.
Well, I don't have a lot of friends.
It's the podcasting book was sort of a...
Basically, I can only get people to talk to me if I write a book about them.
Oh.
So,
and here you are.
So here I am.
Succeeded. You've succeeded, my friend.
Which we will be talking with you about the Comic Book Podcast Companion a little bit later in the show.
But that'd be nice.
I think we've got a lot of comic books that we want to talk about that have come out in the last week or two. First, I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com. And InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials.
I'm really not
in any mindset to do a
You're
podcast.
You're like barely here.
I know.
Showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free.
I'll get it together.
And Tom has handpicked our next...
Handcrafted
our next book club selection, which is The Adventures of Luther Arkwright. And it is available at InStock Trades for a fantastic 35% off the cover price. It can be yours for the low, low price of $12.32.
You can have it in your hands.
That's a steal.
And reading it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'm actually going to take vacation here at the end of the month, and I'm planning on taking it with me because I got into like the first 10, 15 pages of it, and
it's black and white.
it's kind of like reading The Fever Dream to start with, so it's going to take some...
Ooh, it only gets...
Fever or Dreamer.
Have you been reading it while high?
Yes.
I forgot to mention that.
You have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you have to.
And you can buy Tom's brand of crack, Kirby
it's
Crackle.
Ether. It's got to be ether. It's the only way. Cater's
ether.
Otherwise, this book makes no sense unless you're high on ether the whole time. Yeah.
And
that's something you don't see every day. Jeffrey Brown walking into a comic shop with a Diet Coke and a giant roll of paper towel. That's
and a bag of crack.
They only had the 8 roll of paper towels at Walgreens, I guess. Last order of business here before we jump into some comics talk.
Business.
The musical spotlight for today was actually suggested by color artist extraordinaire Dave Stewart, and it was an easy one to easy request to fit in because it's one of Sal's favorite bands.
Yeah.
Today's musical spotlight is on the Black Keys.
Yeah. Oh, nice! I thought it was going to be Heart.
I do like hard. I do like hard. Yeah, no question.
Next week, man.
Yeah, so there you go.
Barracuda.
Just Barracuda. just have Barracuda playing quietly in the background.
Little Magic Man.
You can't, play Barracuda quiet. You gotta crank it.
We'll play Us Quiet in the background. While just Barracuda an hour of Barracuda nonstop.
It'll be the most downloaded Around Comics ever.
I had a friend who lived by this fake lake, you know, one of those lakes they just build so they can build McMansions around it.
Right.
And he was having a party at his house, and we were staying there, and across the lake someone had this giant bonfire, like the type that you would have if you were sacrificing someone. Crazy huge one. And they were listening to Heart nonstop.
Nice.
I must have heard Barracuda. This is from across the lake. I must have heard Barracuda seven times that night.
That's a magic
I wanted
man.
To hear it in eighth.
Yeah, you don't get sick of it. That's the good thing about
it. How's it gonna end?
But the Black Keys are one of my favorite new bands, only because they sound like an old band.
Yep.
And I'm an old man.
Yep.
That listens to old
grungy,
grungy, old
dirty
music.
Blues.
Yeah, baby. And it's two dudes. It's just two guys. One guy with a huge beard, and and it's the drummer.
Well,
nice.
Well, the drummer's got robot legs. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Steampunk legs.
They're awesome. I love the Black Keys.
Cool. Well, it was a huge week for comics.
Was a big one.
Many, many, many good things
came
out.
They need to figure out how to. They need to space out this shit.
We don't need that many comics in, in a week.
Listen, I only buy the good shit, so they need to figure out how to space out the good shit,
or figure out a way to let you know what's going to be bad, so that you don't buy it.
It's a new marketing twist. Don't buy this; it sucks.
Yeah, this is the bad shit.
Well, usually I know which it is because it's got a big X on it.
No.
Damn. Third old I liked X Factor. I liked the last issue X Factor. I'm just kidding.
I know. It's Tom. It's what you do.
It's what I do.
You're gonna make Chris Claremont cry.
I tell you what, Tom.
Cries every night.
do we want to
ever stop?
Does everybody have at least one book that they want to talk about?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Chris Claremont goes into every meeting and says, "Can we relaunch Exiles?"
Again.
Do it again.
This time with Blink.
I got a real solid idea this time. No, really, it'll
Jean
work.
Grey threatens the whole world. He did that 30 years ago. Shit.
You did it 20 years ago.
Shit.
And 10 years ago.
Damn it.
That's about time.
Damn it.
All right, well, I tell you what, let's bring back an oldie but a goodie. It is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
Panel.
And we can I start the same joke since I wasn't recording?
Or
and
the
talk
Chris
about...
Claremont?
No. You were.
We got that. We got all.
We got the Chris Claremont.
I believe we got all the Chris Claremont.
Yeah,
because that was gold.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I think it was later on. We'll have Sal do future stacks.
Future stacks.
We'll tell you what to buy.
Yeah, it was funnier the first time. But
join the Around Comics Army.
Tom, sticking with tradition, why don't you go ahead and lead us off?
No.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
My top of the stack for this week, the thing I enjoyed the most would probably be the Immortal Iron Fist number 23 by Dwayne
Swierczynski.
Dwayne S, as I'll refer to him.
You can follow him on Twitter.
I do follow him on Twitter.
He's very entertaining.
Twitter's a great way to cyber stalk.
He's a much better comic writer than he is a Twitterer, though.
Yeah, Twitter's 104. It takes a long time to learn the craft of Twittering properly.
Yes. Yeah, there's probably going to be classes. Yeah.
I was a blogger, and Twittering is just you using totally different muscles.
Yeah, it's
Eric and I are working on a book
about Twitter.
Dummy's Guide for Twitter.
140 characters at a time.
The comic book Twitter companion.
It's a 500.
It'll be out from 2 months.
Yeah. How do you read? How do I read a Twitter if I find one?
All right, so Iron Fist number 23, and I'm going to agree with you. It was fantastic.
It was good.
I thought the travel form and art, which I haven't been that hot on for the previous issues, was probably the best it had been up to this point. I think possibly because it just seemed like the story let him kind of cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
His obvious strength is not in people standing around talking.
Right.
His obvious strength is in writing sort of mind-blowing action scenes.
There need to be huge sumo wrestling men flying around arenas, which is what we have here.
Well, one of the great panels where he's fighting this creature that every time he hits it, it grows larger, so he just decides, I'm going to just start punching it as fast as I can. And the panel just completely forgets, you know, like the static motion of punching someone. It's just a blur of arms and his feet, and you just see all the little punches hitting the body, and it's just growing huge. And the story is also fantastic, as they've traveled to this mystical eighth city where they banished all the bad people, and they're just fighting a bunch of weird creatures. And it's the strongest art issue so far of the travel form and stuff.
And I mistakenly kind of wrote this book off whenever Fraction and Brubaker.
I did too. I need to get back on it. But
yeah, but you didn't do it publicly like Chris did.
Yeah. I didn't say, I give that book six sucks. Issues and it's dead.
Without Brubaker, Fraction, it must suck.
It's been every bit as good as when Brubaker and Fraction were on it.
It's been better.
You think it's been better?
I think so. I actually enjoy it more so. So far with Straczynski's, I mean, not that I didn't like it before, I really did, but
it moves faster.
Yeah, it moves faster, and it's just more kinetic, and I'm more into the storyline. Like with the Fraction stuff, it was really cool, but with a lot of what Fraction, you know, a lot of stuff that he writes, sometimes it's very sort of esoteric, and it doesn't draw me into the characters and the storyline a lot. Where this, I'm more connected to Danny and the storyline.
Well, I also think they got into that thing of whatever David Aja had to do to like keep the schedule art-wise, where they had to keep having. If you could see what was going on,
it's not distracting at all.
Not distracting.
Chris is basically doing jumping jacks next to us.
I'm trying to look at Sal.
Trying to tell our lovely host to be a little bit quieter in the background.
You're the only one talking without a microphone.
Moving.
Go ahead, Tom.
But they, you know, they'd had the other artists to do the flashback scenes, and while that was cool, sometimes I thought it was a little jammed into all the stories and kind of slowed down the main story. And they still do it a little bit, but you have a stronger thread going. It doesn't take 14 issues to get to the end of the story.
Now you've read this, right?
Yes.
Okay, but Eric is not.
I have not. Are they still following? So they're still with the immortal weapons capital cities of heaven and all of that stuff.
Well, no, they left that, and then Davos came back and said, "Hey, you have to go to the eighth city where something's going on, but it turns out to be a trap, and all the immortal weapons are being forced."
Enter Admiral Akbar.
Yeah. It's a trap. I mean, he's kept all those elements. Okay. He hasn't gone away from that, and he's using them, you know, in a little different way. But they're all there.
Okay. He has a dog sidekick now, though.
Does it
with
talk?
With a jetpack. With a jetpack.
Does it talk?
It's called Iron Paw.
Yes, they brought in Luke Cage's nephew as well.
All right. Aside from that, Oliver from Cage. The dog.
It's almost.
But
like
the Morse code scene, which I will not spoil, but was horrific and brilliant all at the same time.
Right, it was cool. It was a great issue. I was like, oh, this is. I could stand for this. I could stand for. I kind of thought Travel Foreman was kind of stuck in between of trying to do what is obviously his looser, like less structured style. And having to tell a story where it seemed like they really wanted him to tell it that way. And this is the first time it felt like he could just do crazy stuff like those panels where the arms are moving so fast. It's just scratches. You would not have seen that in an Iron Fist story up to this point, especially when Aja was doing it. And it was the action scenes were done very different.
Yeah, very sort of sober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Design.
I guaranteed people hate. There's people that probably were like, you didn't even draw anything. It's just a bunch of squiggles on the page.
And I like the Timothy Green kind of parchment looking flashbacks. I think are fantastic and definitely fits with the feeling that's been set up in this.
There was a third artist on the book too, Tonsi.
He did the first three pages.
Yeah. Yeah. With Davos. She said, I know. And she's making me feel like I never was born. Well, I tell you, is it okay if I go next?
No,
are we done talking about it?
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think? Should we let Chris? What's your pick?
All right.
I think it fits in pretty well with what we talk about with Iron Fist, because this week I felt like there was some Iron Fist that got mixed into my Ghost Rider.
You got Iron Fist in my Ghost Rider.
You got Ghost Rider in my Iron Fist.
Just from the standpoint that Jason Aaron, and this was Jason Aaron and Tony Moore, and I'll touch on that in a minute as to why I bought this issue of Ghost Rider, which is not a book that I usually buy. But
is this the first issue of Ghost Rider that you've purchased
of Jason's run? Yeah,
of the relaunch.
I enjoyed the first artist on it, and then the second artist lost me a little bit. Yeah, and then I'm back for more.
Who is Ghost Rider? And is it Danny Ketch? Is it Johnny Blaze?
See,
that's a perfect question.
That's what is great about this issue, because you kind of find out that it doesn't really matter. They hold on. It'll be for people turn off.
There's also a dog sidekick in this
one. No jetpack though.
No. What's great is that Jason Aaron was kind of able to take all of the Ghost Rider continuity and at the same time throw it away and kind of recapture it at the same time, much like Brubaker and Fraction did with Iron Fist. He's developed very slyly, has developed a legacy to Ghost Rider, and explains it really kind of from biblical times on to actually beyond today, into the future. And did a great job of, in one issue, giving you the entire Ghost Rider mythos, what the Ghost Rider is, why he's there, and you know, maybe what the role of that spirit of vengeance is going to be in the future. So this is, if you want to talk about jumping on points, this is a great jumping on point that just really kind of sets the story straight with who Ghost Rider is. And what was kind of really interesting about it is that it was an incredibly entertaining Ghost Rider issue, and Ghost Rider, the Ghost Riders that we know, Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze, weren't even really in it, except for maybe, a flashback panel. And
were
that
they even in it at all?
I think it showed them at, like, a graveyard or something, and that was it.
Which is the Ghost Rider, Eric, that you wanted?
I want them both.
Well, you can have them both. That's all the thing. That's the night.
You can have whatever you want.
I don't actually care.
Jason Aaron has been sort of slowly over the last few issues setting this kind of thing up, and really this issue is almost like a relaunch of the title and the character. With Tony Moore coming on as the
artist. What are you doing to that comic, dude?
Did you just fold the cover back?
No, not all the way.
Oh man.
No, I was going.
God.
Sal saw me drop a comic on the bathroom floor this week.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
So, did you pick it back up?
Yeah, he did.
He had to.
Oh my God.
But anyway,
it's a collectible.
It was. It's a very nice introductory issue if you haven't been reading Ghost Rider, and I think, you know, that's what he was trying to get people to do, with maybe Tony coming on and doing this arc of getting people to pick it up, like Chris, that is a Tony Moore fan, not necessarily a Ghost Rider fan, but you know, wanted to check it out.
It's the only Jason Aaron book that I don't buy.
It was a really good introduction to the character and the new sort of mythos of Ghost Rider that Jason Aaron has developed, which is he's no longer, you know, the damned soul. Fighting for vengeance for some reason, even though he's the damn soul. But, you know, now he's actually like a warrior for God in some ways. He describes it as God's black ops, is, you know, sort of.
He got iron fisted.
He did. Yeah. And they gave this legacy to the character, and they explain all this in this issue.
It's a great recap page to pretty much everything that's been going on in the last couple arcs, and then it jumps right in and explains everything. And should I give away my favorite panel of the book?
Yeah.
There was a laugh out loud funny panel.
Yes.
Is that if you wanted to see Smokey and the Bandit Ghost Rider, he's in here.
Which I do.
And there he is.
You just sold that book, sir.
Smokey. And I had actually...
where else are you going to see that?
Speaking of Twitter, Jason Aaron had posted these through Twitter, a couple of the pages, and it was of the World War One kind of like enemy ace Ghost Rider German biplanes out of the air.
I'm getting more and more excited. I'm not being ironic.
I emailed Jason, ace, and I was... German. Huh? Whatever, an American fighter pilot, Ghost Rider, and I emailed Jason and said that looks fantastic, and he's like, oh, wait till you see Smokey and the Bandit Ghost Rider, and I thought he was bullshitting me, and he wasn't, so.
P.S. Stop writing me emails.
Quit bothering me.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
You creepy stalker.
Yeah, Tony Moore.
Oh, and
Tony
Indian Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
There's a whole host of, it's like every panel is a different Ghost Rider.
I am buying this.
Is there a Ghost Rider Ghost Rider?
Yes, there's the Western Ghost Rider.
And still only $2.99.
Yes.
yeah, from so Marvel Comics.
Don't
now
say anything.
Shh.
They're just going to be like, we left some at $2.99.
Whoops.
Still
only $2.99.
Really, really fun issue. Great jumping on point. If you're a Tony Moore fan from Walking Dead, you even get some zombies in this one.
Yeah, there were zombies, but different looking zombies. I thought Tony's art overall
Marvel
was a
zombie
little different looking.
Yeah,
yeah. There's some Marvel zombies by Tony. They got to be different. You know?
Yeah.
They
and
have
as
a certain je ne sais quoi.
I've been given the coloring at Marvel a little shit lately. It's been I think Marvel as a company
and
the
they've
coloring
been listening.
Is, yeah, apparently because I do need to give credit to Dave McKaig, who did a great job coloring this.
Who thought you Twittered with today?
Yeah, yeah, he is Dave McKaig's
you
on Twitter.
Just love Twitter.
We're just
well,
like Twitter.
I hate.
I don't
Twitter
love it
already.
I don't love it as much as Scotty Young.
I won't get into that. But well, that leads me into another, I thought, fantastic Marvel book.
Whoa.
This didn't come out this week. It came out last week.
Oh.
That is, I think, a great jumping on point.
Yeah.
If you've either not been reading the book or haven't been reading it in a while or whatever, is Daredevil number 116, which is the start of the Return of the Kingpin arc. And
it's not Lady Kingpin?
No, it's not Lady Kingpin, but Lady Bullseye is in it. But it's Ed Brubaker and new artist David Aja, who has not done
formerly of Iron Fist.
See it all. And
reacted.
I don't know if he's the ongoing artist, but I hope that he will be. As much as I like Michael Lark's,
I
want to
see
Michael
Lark do something else.
Yeah, Well, with this character, with Daredevil, you know, for me, I've been reading Daredevil since I was a kid, and there's always been some fantastic artists on that book that have always conveyed to me a sense of what it was like to be Daredevil in their visual
Catholic
style.
Guilt.
No, the blind part, really, more than the Catholic. The Catholic guilt is there, but
the blind part is hard to draw.
Yeah, the blind part is hard to draw, but I think
Catholic guilt
is
easy
look,
to draw.
If you look back at some of the Frank Miller stuff and different artists that have worked, you know, I think even, what's his name with Bendis?
Maleev
stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sort of, through their visual style, they were able to convey a sense of the fact that Daredevil sees the world in a different way than we do.
This guy's blind.
Or not at all.
Or not at all. Well, but he does through his radar. He sees, you know, he sees the world in a unique way. And I think artists have been able to convey that in a certain way. And I think David Aja, while this story in particular is not really about Daredevil, it's much more about the Kingpin. There's one panel in particular that, or one page in particular, that I just thought really harkened back to the best stylized stuff in Daredevil. And it was just a page of sort of the Kingpin's head and Spider-Man and Daredevil and this kind of thing. I don't want to get into it too much, but overall, I just think Aja's art style fits this book a lot better than maybe not better, but my taste for it, I like a lot more than Michael Lark's stuff. Michael Lark is a really good artist, but once again, he's sort of one of those sober artists that his action and stuff is not real dynamic.
I liked him on Gotham Central, which was a police procedural book.
Yeah.
I thought that his style fit the tone of that book exceptionally well. But yeah, it's
And Aja still can do that, but he can also do a little bit more dynamic and exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. Or at least he does. And this particular issue, like I said, is a great jumping on point for Daredevil. It's basically the story up to this point is the Daredevil or the Kingpin has sort of banished himself from the US. Daredevil kind of kicked him out, sort of he left on his own, and he's been traveling around Europe sort of mourning his wife's death and trying to figure out who he is. And in this particular story, it's all about what he's been doing, which is basically trying to reform.
Kingpin summer vacation.
Kind of, yeah, yeah, but it's a little darker than that. And in it, he is really beating himself up. He believes that he caused the death of his wife, and he's mourning her, but at the same time, you know, sort of blaming himself for it, and trying to figure out what he's going to do with the rest of his life, sort of thing. He wants to live a clean life from now on in respect of what happened with his wife. And in that regards, he meets someone in Europe, a woman, and they begin to have a relationship, and she has children, and he's like, love. He's like the happy, yeah, they make love, and really? Which is kind of, well, you know, I don't know, he's a powerful man, I guess.
Oh,
you know,
that's all muscle time.
Bad visuals. And throughout it, you start feeling sympathy for Kingpin because he just blames himself so much for what's going on, and you see the writing on the wall of what's going to happen in this issue, and what's going to bring him back to New York. Which does happen at the end of it. You basically get the sense that he's coming back and into Daredevil's life specifically. So I just thought it was an absolutely fantastic issue. And for once in a long time, it really felt like one of those classic moments in Daredevil where something really was going to change, or
something bad is going to happen to Matt Murdock.
Well, see, but that's the issue, because it's always that. It's always like, you know, how much can we grind down Matt Murdock before he breaks? It's been that way since Miller did it. And everybody keeps kind of going back to that, but at the same time, it didn't feel like an important moment in any of that necessarily. While he's gone through a lot of things, there didn't seem to be any kind of like character defining arcs that have happened.
Yeah, it just kind of kept defining the
yeah,
character.
As much as I liked, really love Bendis' run on Daredevil, mm-hmm. I think Brubaker's done a great job. I think, you know, this seems like he's been building all this up, kind of getting to it, getting through the, you know, Secret Invasion stuff and the House of M and all that, and keeping Daredevil out of that has led to sort of homogenized stories a little bit. But this seems like, okay, you know, we're really going to see something happen. Kingpin's coming back. And just not sure what will happen, how it's going to play out. So I thought it was a fantastic issue. And if you have, you know, if you were a Bendis Daredevil reader and you've gone away, I would say go back.
Come home. Was this a decent jump? You know, we're talking about jumping on. Is this a decent one, or do you need to start with the
jump
Lady Bullseye stuff?
Jump on it.
You could probably start with the Lady Bullseye, but I don't think it's really necessary. I mean, you're not going to be lost in this particular issue, other than at the end you may not understand
why
Daredevil has a dog with a rocket pack. That's not going to make any goddamn sense at all. But no, I mean, you might be a little bit lost, but I don't really think. I mean, just go with it. I mean, I think you could just pick up this issue. It's a good standalone story on its own.
Okay.
The ending may kind of be a little like, what's going on? But I think in the next issue, you'll probably get enough information to know what's going on. And with Marvel's beautiful recap pages that they do, you'll certainly get enough information of what's been going on in Daredevil to go on with it. So, I mean, you could certainly go back to the last arc, but I don't think you necessarily have to enjoy this story, you know, specifically. And moving forward, I think you'll be fine if you just jump on it.
Recap pages are for cowards.
They are. Cowards and weaklings
and weak-minded.
And me.
And Chris.
So.
The booze-addle.
Samuel L. Jackson returns in the sequel to the best-selling anime of 2007, Afro Samurai Resurrection. Afro Samurai avenged his father and found a life of peace, but a beautiful and deadly woman is forcing him back into the game. Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Lucy Liu, with new beats from the RZA featuring 2 hours of extras. Get the Blu-ray and DVD on February 3rd. Afro Samurai Resurrection. One brother, one path, 1,000 deaths.
Visit AfroSamurai.com for more details.
Well, Mr. Houston.
Booze.
Hi.
Addled. Oh, okay, I got you.
You know him, I'm pointing at Chris.
Yeah.
What happened in this? Daredevil's blind?
Oh, when did that happen?
Where'd this dog come from?
I haven't read this in years.
Mr. Houston, what have you got for us?
What Marvel book do you have?
I do not have a Marvel book.
It's Marvel Week, really.
Didn't you get the note?
I have a book from Devil's Due Productions.
What? Oh, okay. They're still publishing books?
Apparently.
I didn't even know it.
Yeah. also Humanoids. It's The Zombies That Ate the World, #1.
Ooh.
It came out a few weeks ago. I don't get my comics weekly anymore.
Oh,
but anyway,
I'm sorry.
I am, me too.
Oh, you're one of them.
I know.
Oh. Oh my.
But
could be worse.
I honestly
could be like me and be a trade waiter. So
yuck.
What's up with that?
You're ruining the industry.
Saving money.
Ruining it.
That's all right. I don't mind. Fuck them.
You hate
that's not my industry.
I'm gonna wreck it.
They don't pay me, goddammit.
So anyway, so The Zombies That Ate the World, it's from Devil's Due Productions and Humanoids. I think it's a reprint of stuff that had been in Metal Hurlant, or however you say that.
Is this the John Cassidy stuff?
No, that's I Am Legion.
I Am Legion.
Oh, okay, which was another human. I'm thinking, I'm getting my humanoid stuff.
This is Guy Davis stuff.
Oh.
Which I wasn't sure what to expect out of the book, and I bought it purely on Guy Davis's name because I've been reading the back issues of Sandman Mystery Theater and loving that. And so,
oh, check out, read his BPRD stuff.
I will.
Mm, it's so good.
But right. this is completely different from either of those, because this is kind of, it turns out, sort of a comedy book. And it's also not, like, this is the first issue of 8.
It's just not funny.
You're not selling me on this book, Eric.
All right, here's the deal. So,
all right, give me the pitch.
It's they're zombies.
All right.
And they eat the world.
All right. Good.
Sold.
Sexy.
So, who's in it?
Who's
But it's a comedy book. It is very funny. There's lots of stuff in here like zombie whales. There's a guy in here who's super rich, and he has the point of the book is it's a world where zombies exist and the world hasn't ended. Like society still seems to be functioning with zombies in the streets.
Well, like crackheads.
Kinda.
What was the movie with the Carrie Ann Moss? It was the
Matrix.
Dog's name.
No.
It was, I want to say it's like Rover.
Fido. Yes.
I didn't see it, but maybe.
But that's kind of the premise of that movie, is that it's after the zombie.
It's kind of like the end of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Kind of.
Yeah.
No, Fido was very much like that. It was like 1960s and zombies had attacked and everything, but then the world just kept moving on and they just kept them as pets.
And this is kind of like that. I think it's New York. And it's zombies are just around, and the first story is about a family who just gets tired of having to keep their zombie grandpa around. So they hire this guy to come and cremate him, which is apparently against the law, but I don't think the story really cares about that. And he shows up, and he's kind of this nerdy kid with acne, and he wears a handkerchief to hide his acne. And he comes in, and he...
Like a mask?
Like a bandana, like the Lone Ranger.
Okay, kind of like Vigilante. Lone Ranger,
but yeah, like Vigilante.
A little shadow action.
The shadow.
Yeah.
And he comes in to cremate the zombie, but shenanigans ensue because the zombie doesn't want to go.
Can't blame
him. I don't want to go.
And then the next story involves the same character, the sort of zombie wrangler character, and his sister. They get a job from a rich guy whose deal is he hires people to go dig up celebrities so he can canoodle.
Oh, that was out of there was a.
It's that's the
there was
the zombie story is old. The second oldest zombie story is fucking zombies. That got invented
it's
about
the
five oldest,
it's
seconds.
It's the second oldest profession.
It's the second. It's the second oldest zombie story besides just zombies. It's like fucking zombies.
Fucking zombies.
You know the first time someone did a zombie story, someone's like
Marilyn Monroe. Right.
It's like, I'm gonna do some slash fiction in this. So.
No, wasn't that one of the in XXX? One of the porn guy. He wanted to go dig up a bunch of.
Oh,
like
yeah,
celebrities
yeah, yeah.
And make
apparently this is something
films.
That a lot of people
a lot of people think about is digging up.
Well, I know it was like a dream printed on the page for me.
It's a fucking corpse.
Can I see?
Yeah, please.
Is it an anthology piece?
You know,
or
it's not. I feel like it's. I feel like if they continue like this, it's going to be like two stories an issue, and the stories are interconnected in that they involve a lot of the same characters, but they're sort of. One and done stories in and of themselves that may or may not be building to something larger. That I don't know.
Well, if it's Guy Davis art, you got me.
Oh
there.
Yeah, it looks
now,
fantastic.
Does anybody here know the whole humanoids DDP relationship? Is this
I have
stuff,
no idea.
Did they just buy the rights to this stuff, or I don't know.
It's magic. I don't.
I tried. I tried to look it up before I came here because I thought I will be informed.
Well, you're very journalistic. So
I am.
You would
I'm
do that.
Very journalistic. I didn't find anything out.
You just show up and talk about it. I didn't even read Iron Fist.
I don't want.
No, I saw you reading it.
I wouldn't. Want to be like informed about my opinions? Nah. I just that's no fun.
Being informed only gets in the way of your feelings.
No, it's very cool. I feel like I've done a bad job of selling it, but it's very funny. The art is fantastic,
and it's one of eight.
It's one of eight, and it's nice because it's not like anything else I'm reading right now. I mean, there is a guy in a mask, but he's trying to snare a zombie with one of those sticks with the lasso at the end of it.
My only concern is I'm reading like four other monthlies where people are fucking corpses. So.
You've met your quota?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
That's enough.
Maybe you should stop reading one of those. and read this one.
Well, it's not.
You should stop reading Fantastic Four. Like,
it's not just. It's not just about having sex with a corpse. It's how you tell the story. It's the characterization. It's how you fuck a corpse. Yeah. It's not.
There's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Anybody could fuck a corpse.
It's going to happen in every comic eventually. I mean, there's only so many stories you can tell.
Next month in action.
Exactly. Superman's going to have sex with...
Who's dead?
Earth 2 Superman.
His uncle?
Oh, that's weird slash fiction. Up.
What's wrong with you?
One of these weirdo podcast people.
I tell you, I want to leave enough time here to talk to Eric about...
Are we out of time already?
But we do have some emails that I'll write to...
Can I give an honorable mention to a? Well, nah, that's right. We can talk about it next. I'll talk about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, we got all next show, so you can come back next week and hear more opinions on comics.
More.
I've got an opinion about something.
Something.
Draw Norman Osborn. Just pick what he's supposed to look like. Somebody.
Give me a style guide. That's just,
if you read Iron Man, he's 20 years old apparently. Oh God!
Everybody
I prefer
has their own
Tommy
style.
Lee Edwards rather
to
than
the 20-year-old Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, there are a few different ways that you can contact the show, and one of those is by email, and you can email us at info@aroundcomics.com. We're going to have some emails here in just a moment, but you can also leave us a voicemail by dialing 1-888-997-5903. And Sal actually reminded me to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, because I never have it in front of me.
So there you go. Call in and leave us a voicemail.
We also accept telepathy.
Some of us do. Quick note on the emails. Please put listener feedback in the subject line. Helps me keep them straight, even though actually Sal is keeping them all straight now. Real quick, you can also join our forum
sorry about that, guys.
You can join our forum at aroundcomics.com and continue this conversation there.
You can follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
We Twitter.
You could read about the show in the Comic Book Podcast Companion.
Available
now in previews.
We blog. I blog. You guys
Start blogging. Eric, are you on Twitter?
No.
But I know you can follow Tom and Sal and I and around comics.
I'm on the internet enough.
There you go. Mr. Salazar, what emails do we have this fine week?
Well, the first one is from Tyler, and he says, "What's up, guys? I am noob to your podcast, and y'all are..."
What is that? Noob?
Noob.
What does that mean?
Nubian. He's Nubian.
Oh, okay.
Welcome.
I am Nubian to your podcast, and y'all are fast becoming one of my podcasts to throw on when I am on Liberty. That'll make sense in a minute. Your comments are hilarious, and your information and takes on comics are on point. I am a big fan of Alan Moore and Frank Miller, and I appreciate the insight that y'all have given on Batman, among other subjects. I am in the United States Coast Guard.
Okay.
Liberty. Liberty. And find comics to be one of the easiest ways when I am underway to get a break. And I also am finding that your podcast is also fast becoming one of my favorite ways of plugging into my space in my head. Into the space in my head.
The voices go away.
To make the crazy, Just thought I would say thanks. More power to y'all. That's three y'alls.
Y'all.
Where are you from, Tyler?
I'll sit down and have some lemonade.
He's from New York. Yeah.
And to close on an inquisitive note, what do y'all think? That's four. Think of the comic Wanted and also the loosely inspired film adaptation of the comic Peace, Tyler.
I think they are both good.
Yeah,
both independent of each other.
I probably enjoy the movie more than I enjoyed the comic. The
comic was good. It slowly got worse as it went on.
Yeah, the ending was just kind of piss poor and sort of thrown in there. I thought it was kind of...
I thought everything he had to say was kind of at the front of the comic, and then the very end was just kind of an F you to people.
Yeah, well,
but
I didn't
not,
know.
Not
I
in mean, a bad, mean-spirited way, but, you know.
But in a happy, welcoming way.
I think the concept of the comic is fantastic.
Oh,
I thought initially...
The bad guys win.
It was really well done. Maybe it drew on Fight Club a little bit too much for me.
There's a twist in it that is just, to me, made it like... And it involves his father.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
And
it
was like, you can't do that in a story. You can't tell us, you can't show an audience something and then say what you saw
was all wrong.
Like, you can't get away with that, really. Yeah. You got to give some clues. So it was a little.
The movie I enjoyed.
It
loosely follows the comic.
Fun popcorn movie.
Awesome action.
Shoot that motherfucker.
Yeah. And the main character, the main actor, I can't think of his name.
Not Eminem.
No, it's not Eminem, but I can't think of the
James kid. McAvoy.
James McAvoy. I thought was great in it. The whole loom thing is a little odd.
That is odd.
I don't know where that came from exactly. I don't know why they decided on that sort of interpretation.
There's always those things that make me laugh. It's like, you know, there was a meeting where they were, we have to decide how they decide things. Well, we need to have a loom.
Yeah, it's like, I think it was Morgan Freeman. I think
does anyone
he threw
care?
That in
like,
there.
Would anyone care if instead they just had a box where
if they just existed
should,
yeah if they just yeah
do you, where people walk up and you know I wish they had something I wish there was like a loom
a loom God, we need something solid something
they're, fabric
they're
that tells
reaching
the
for some
the world.
Some sort of like metaphor about like the
threads
of
yeah,
but it's just like
and...
also in a movie where you're like, constant gunfights maybe you
yeah,
want
to
stay
you don't
away.
Need to necessarily be deep you don't have to just I mean, and the action is awesome. Yeah. The special effects are phenomenal. It's funny. I mean, I really like the movie. I mean, I probably like the movie more than I like the comic. I'll watch the movie.
Oh, beautiful J.G.
before.
Jones artwork, though.
But no, yeah, it is good, but
you can't miss
once
read
you read it,
five.
It's sort of, you know, I'm not going to get anything else out of it.
I did not read it.
Well, I mean, it's not bad. It's not, you know.
No, it's good. It's fun.
Really cool concept.
That was an equality assessment. I didn't read.
Yeah, oh well. Okay, you got time to write a book.
All right.
Next.
Next one is from Carrie, and he or she said, because I don't know if that's a guy or girl.
Right.
Yeah. Around comics, I wanted to thank.
It's a he.
Think so? Probably, yeah. I wanted to thank
you. It's a 90% chance.
Yeah. I wanted to thank you and tell you a short story about my experience with the Hero Initiative.
Oh.
I went to my first con yesterday, MegaCon, with my 5-year-old son, and as soon as we got there, we went straight to the Hero Initiative booth.
Somebody listens to me.
Lucky for us, we did. They were giving away a ticket, and you could also buy extra tickets for $1 each to enter a drawing to pay for a sketch done for you by George Perez, and another drawing for a sketch by Dan Jurgens. They were each only going to do 10 sketches that day, so out of 100 or so tickets for George and 100 or so tickets for Dan, one of my tickets was drawn for each. I know there are some guys out there going, how much did that cost you? But for me, it was more than worth it. We now have two great sketches at home from two artists at the top of the industry for decades. My son and I got to watch George Perez draw Superman for us to take home, and on top of that, I knew that the money was going to a great cause. So thank you, Chris, Sal, and Tom, and everybody else at Around Comics for not only supporting the Hero Initiative, but talking about it every episode. You're keeping it in the top of my mind, allowed my son and I to have an experience, memory, and souvenir that we will treasure forever. Thanks again, Carrie.
Send us one of those sketches.
Send us, yeah, we'll take either one, Jurgens or...
Yeah, whatever.
Perez.
Awesome.
But I think
I hope the Jurgens one was of George Perez drawing Superman.
that would be awesome.
With the tiny
very meta.
No, that's great. And I've said it multiple times. Whenever you go to a convention, make sure that the Hero booth is the first one that you go to just to get their schedule, because you get great sketches by top talent at the Hero booth, and those guys really throw themselves into it because they know that it's for a great cause. That
Perez was there like the whole time.
Well, he's a board member for Hero, so if
that's like all he does anymore is the Hero stuff. Yeah. He doesn't even really do much.
He'll
else.
At Wizard Chicago this year. He'll be at the at the Hero booth, and I'm volunteering there. So I plan on
you are a hero, Chris. You know that?
Oh, thank you, sir.
No, really. I mean, you've pushed Hero more than you know, than
hero
anybody.
Quotation
it's in quotes, but it's
small
hero
small
nonetheless.
Small H.
No, you've done a great job since we started the show of really pushing Hero and getting people to.
Well, I mean, you know this. All you got to do is meet Gene Colan one time, and you want to do as much as you can for Hero.
Because he threatens you.
Yes.
He's strong for you know, a guy that's 83.
He asks you how many issues of his comics you own, and then he gets real close, real close to you, and goes, "Give me some give me some money, motherfucker."
I will.
How much pleasure did
I? Do you like Iron Man?
Do you like Iron Man?
Daredevil?
Like Daredevil?
Give me some fucking money. Then.
I'm gonna stab you in the chest right now. I was in the army.
It's happened. It happens. No.
I was in the army.
It's usually after he's drinking, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Wild man. That
then he laughs, and he kind of, like, pushes you away.
It's more of a cackle. It's not, it's, that's really, yeah.
That's how he rolls.
It's disturbing. We got one more here?
Sure. This one's from Paul. He said, sup? So I'm back again.
We should make a grammar push. So, got y'alls and so.
So after all this talk on your show recently about the Roberts, I went and ordered the trade from InStockTrades.com right after it came out at the end of February.
Yes.
February. It was good, but I think it's something that's much better collected in a trade over the single issues. The extra features were pimp shit in the back. He said, also, I'm calling you out, Chris Niesman.
Oh, no.
Talking shit about Bendis and Marvel on Around Comics and 11 O'Clock Comics. A year ago, all you could talk about is how wonderful Bendis is, and now you're all doom and gloom over the Avengers and Marvel Comics. The guy can't write something you want exactly the way you want it every time. Give the guy a break. My question this week is for Tom Caters.
Yeah.
Bendis broke my heart.
It's like he's like a spurned lover.
Would you like a moment to respond to his attack on your two-facedness, as he calls you out?
Hey, no, well, listen. Mm-hmm. And I'll defend Chris. You can change your mind about things.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not like...
Not on a podcast,
Not like Bendis' work from a year ago is the same as it is today. Yeah. And not saying good or bad, I'm just saying it's not the same, so that, you know, leaves the door open for...
He could start sucking.
Changes,
or he might already have, depending on
his
opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the whole time.
That's my thing with Bendis is that I think he is a better writer than what I'm seeing him do at Marvel right now, and I just
you're like a spurned lover.
I am kind of a little bit like a spurned. I think he's capable of doing more. I'd like to see a little bit.
You want to see the best from Bendis.
Yeah, yeah.
You dial the first six digits of his number, and then when you get to the seventh, you hang up.
Hey, you know, it's like I'm a huge baseball fan.
Oh,
Albert Pujols is the best player in baseball. But if he hits .230 in a season, that's I know he
You'll
can
still
do better.
Love him.
You and, would still love
him. Yeah, you would never say a bad word about him.
Pujols would have to
shit.
Kill a child for you
in front of you.
It depends on what child that is.
All Bendis has to do is write a bad story.
Fucker.
No, I'd like to see Bendis put a period on some of his stories. It seems like he has trouble wrapping things up.
So you're saying Bendis was the best writer in comics, and now he's hitting .230.
For me, he was my favorite writer for a couple years, and I haven't really enjoyed much of what he's written in the last year or so.
All right.
And he's either the best or the worst.
There's no in between.
There's no in between.
Not on this show.
Shades of Grey for pussies.
That's right. Yeah, you can't make up your mind. You can't. Make a decision? Come on. Fuck that.
I want to see him do more creator-owned stuff. So.
All right. My question... He continues...
What do you think of Albert Pujols?
My question this week is for Tom Caters. Yep. Tom, you ruthless lumberjack, you. I was wondering if you would be interested in a pancake-eating contest at the Windy City Comic-Con this year. I think I could take you.
A pancake? Yeah, probably could take me. I'm not...
Yeah, you're not a big eater.
No, I'm not a big eater.
No.
I don't even like pancakes that much.
I like pancakes.
Yeah, I don't get pancakes at restaurants unless they're Swedish pancakes, because I always figure I can make my own pancakes.
You want something special.
I want a skillet.
I'll teach you how to make Swedish pancakes, and you won't even have to order them.
I have to come to your house?
Maybe.
I love pancakes.
Sounds like a trap.
It's a trap! I love pancakes, but for his... fat of a guy that I am, mm-hmm. I really can't like eat
you're
that
not
much.
Fat.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
You're just big bone.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
How many pancakes do you think you could eat
right now?
Are we talking about like silver dollar pancakes or full flapjack?
I'm gonna say like a flapjack,
like a big flapjack,
like a big flapjack.
I could probably eat in one sitting if I really pushed myself. I'd say probably 10.
I'd eat 11.
I thought you didn't like pancakes.
There's no way I would get anywhere close to 10.
I bet you I could do... I don't know. That's a lot of bread, but... I could sit down and eat 3 or 4, no problem, piece of cake. So if I really pushed myself, I'm thinking 10.
I got involved in a watermelon eating contest.
How many watermelons did you eat?
I ate so much watermelon, I threw up water.
That's not pretty.
Which wasn't bad. It's like, it was mostly water. It was just
weird. It's just, once it's...
It was unattractive.
Was it vodka stuff? Watermelon?
It was just... looks like a Red Lantern.
It was just vodka. It was just... It wasn't even really a contest. It was just a friend of...
He want to eat this watermelon?
There's a lot of watermelon. He's like, how much can you eat?
Okay, so it was
so
just,
we just sat
it was just
there
a challenge.
Eating.
It was a personal challenge.
Yeah, there was no money in just pride.
But you
the pride of eating a lot of...
You used to watch Malcolm in the Middle, right?
No.
Oh, I...
You said that like you were so sure that
no,
I did.
No, I used to watch it.
I think that would be your type of show, but there's a scene
because
where
I'm wearing this Malcolm in the Middle t-shirt.
It's because of all the Malcolm in the Middle fan fiction.
Well, there's one where the older brother is off at military school, and some guy challenges him to eat like 100 peeps. And he's like, well, I can do that, and
I know somebody that could do that, but
I know a girl that used to microwave peeps.
One. I don't even like one,
and eat them with a spoon.
Oh,
she throw them in the microwave and eat them with a spoon.
Where is this girl now?
She's in grad school somewhere.
Good Lord,
see,
well, so it looks like we have no one to accept the pancake challenge.
What could I eat a lot of?
I don't know.
I eat a lot of shrimp.
Little Caesar's pizza.
Yeah.
I
could eat a lot of steak. Like I could eat. I often have thought about going to one of those steak places that are like the 96 ouncer because I can finish, you know, a 20 ounce steak like nothing. And I mean,
it's the last 76 ounces. That
does
can
he
want to
have
though.
A drinking contest?
Oh, that's dangerous, Tom. That could be
dangerous
could
for
die.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want someone to die trying to outdrink you. I don't know. Pancake eating. Who's gonna make the pancakes? Like, where are we gonna get pancakes and all that? And
are
bring
we having
them there?
A pancake stand at the show?
I guess yeah. We decided this year we're gonna have
we'll sell them for Hero.
Mike Norton and John Suntress are gonna be making pancake breakfast. So get there early at the show.
It's a pancake.
Mike, make some good. I knew you made good pancakes.
We're having a Round Comics pancake breakfast.
I think that would actually be kind of cool to do, but I don't know. Maybe next year we'll do that.
We could fill a garbage can with batter.
Oh,
awesome. You could swim in it.
Yeah, and then I'll jump into the batter, and then when everyone's done, they'll say, "By the way, Tom climbed into the batter before you ate all that."
These are naked.
Whenever we said they were Tom Cater pancakes, we meant it.
We meant Tom dipped his balls in the pancake batter.
He teabagged the pancake batter. He shaved beforehand, so. Yeah.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees, ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service on my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today.
Can I get one more? Just because we have a lot, and we.
Okay.
Let's get one more in here real quick. Dear the Around Comics guys, Wu-Tang Clan. Here I was expecting Thin Lizzy's "The Boys Are Back in Town." Awesome song, by the
that
way.
That is.
Or maybe Bachman Turner Overdrive, "Taking Care
Love
of Business."
BTO. Love BTO.
And what did I hear? Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. People don't tell me that this means no more old guy radio. Oh, please don't tell me this doesn't mean any more old guy radio on Around Comics. No. Every week, I look forward to the predictably generic classic rock music as a juxtaposition to the witty banter about comics. I hope that this doesn't mean that the show has gone all hippity-hoppity. But I have to admit that Wu-Tang Clan truly ain't nothing to fuck with. P.S. Tom rules. Dave from New Orleans. Yeah, I don't think we'll hear any more Wu-Tang. Haven't gone all hippity-hoppy. Next week, it's house music, so.
It's going to be house?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just tell you that Sal and I had about a 30 or 45-minute love session talking about.
Hey, careful. Careful what you say on the show, dude.
A 30
I don't...
to 45-minute lovemaking session.
Talking about Alice Cooper today.
Oh, yeah. I love Alice Cooper.
See?
I recently...
acquired.
All
the body
30
of Alice
the body of Alice Cooper. He's alive.
Well, he was. Oh, you mean you have Alice Cooper One's body? That's not the original Alice Cooper. Not out there playing golf in Arizona.
Like his 30 album library, and I was just going, man, his early.
Man,
shit
how
was...
much did you pay for that?
I did. Well, no, I owned most of it.
$30.
I already had of it, so I was just digitizing it, but I hadn't listened to it in a long time, so I definitely want an Alice Cooper episode.
There's going
to
be some Alice Cooper.
Because early stuff, not like the 80s kind of hairband shit, which is fine, but, you know, like Special Forces and Welcome to My Nightmare and Billion Dollar Baby's my favorite album.
Before we get to the podcasting book, I did have a Thin Lizzy story. There was
Sweet.
A bar I used to...
Awesome.
There was a bar I used to go to that had this DJ, but all he did was DJ with CDs. You know, but he still had the personal
presence.
Stature that he felt that he was like
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
It's so hard for me to turn the volume down on this one CD and turn the volume up on the next one. And
it
I walked up to him, and we go to this bar every Friday, and I walked up and like asked him if he could play Jailbreak by Thin Lizzy, and he's like, oh man,
nice.
I played some Thin Lizzy earlier. And I was
like nine people in the bar.
He's like, I played Cowboy by Thin Lizzy. And I was like, well, it's not even Jailbreak. It's not even the same song. Maybe if you played the same song like half an hour ago, I could understand. But so for the rest of the night, you can't play any Thin Lizzy.
No more Thin Lizzy.
This is 10 o'clock. You have 3 hours left. What else do you have? If you're not going to play Jailbreak tonight, I'm leaving.
Listen, I'll replace your fucking ass with a jukebox, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. With all his books of burnt CDs. Like, if you turn the volume down wrong, you know, people get upset. People will stop drinking at this bar.
You should have said, well, how about Whiskey in a Jar by Metallica?
He
wouldn't even have known any different.
He probably wouldn't have had a CD of that.
True. Yeah. Well.
That was my Thin Lizzy story.
That was a good story.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Eric Houston.
Hi.
First of all, thank you for coming down and sitting in with us.
Oh.
I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Sort of.
You are the author of a new book from Tomorrow's Publishing called The Comic Book Podcast Companion.
That is correct.
And you were actually here several months ago talking to us. We had no idea that this was going to end up in print. With pictures of... No,
really? I think I mentioned it.
We didn't believe you. I mean, we thought you were just some wacko out of Minnesota.
But here
sure you are, buddy. Okay, you're
here
in
it
a
is.
Book.
I hold in my hand Wazer print copies of what will be
It's
in
still
the book.
Not officially a book.
Yeah, I'll
just
believe
so
when
know.
I see it.
Thanks a lot, Sal.
I'm just...
Yeah. Well, for people that do believe you that this will be in paperback book form.
You think
form,
he's a con man?
Yeah, I think
hey,
he's,
listen, guys,
this is all a big confidence scheme.
I need $75 from each of you to cover picture fees.
It's a podcast Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
It is available in previews right now.
Yes.
Correct? And for people out there that do such things, do you happen to have an order code?
I don't have an order code. It's on page 290. Of previews.
Okay.
I could memorize three numbers.
It's right up near the front of the book.
Sorta. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it's in the sad section.
It's before the t-shirts.
Okay.
And before the costumes.
And it's in with the Tomorrow stuff.
It's in with the Tomorrow stuff. I think it's one of two books from Tomorrow's in previews this month. You can also find it at Amazon.com. Tomorrow's.com has it for 15% off. And DCBS has it for 40% off.
Oh,
40%. 40% off
those slashing sons of
bitches.
That
is less than $10.
Yeah. Oh, hell, I'll have to order it.
I think you should.
I'd
appreciate that.
I'm going to get a copy of that. Yeah.
And to reiterate, we talk about pre-orders as being important. This is important to pre-order this book. So if you are interested in reading a very in-depth interview with us and the folks from iFanboy, several of the people, other people that you interviewed here, Steve from the Comic Book Queers is here. John Suntress is walking around. Mike Norton is here.
Mm-hmm.
Time for a sequel.
Yeah.
Son of the Comic Book Podcast Companion. I would love to do it.
What's happened? What's changed?
What's changed?
Nothing.
But that's kind of part of why pre-orders are important for something like this is because Tomorrow's traditionally has been about the history of comic books and sort of delving not the future stacks of comic books, but sort of delving more into the fan aspect of the hobby is something that they want to get into, that they're trying to get into now. And this book and Grail Page's new book about comic art collecting are the big parts of that. And if you want these books, pre-order them. And if you want to see more books like this, you know, let Tomorrow's know that there's a demand for it. please pre-order the books. Let us know that you want more.
Awesome. And I had mentioned a few of the podcasts that are featured in this.
Yeah.
iFanboy, Comic Geek Speak, Word Balloon, Crankcast, Comic Book Queers, Q-Paw, Collected Comics Library, of
Collected
course.
Collected Comics Library, the Pipeline Podcast with Al Yudablik. Did you say Comic Geek Speak?
Yes.
Okay. Did you say the Crankcast?
Yes.
All right.
iFanboy?
I think... Did you say Iron Comics?
Yeah. All right. Twice.
All the good ones are in.
You talked with.
You're going to get me in trouble now, buddy. but those are the ones that are prominently featured. Those are the ones with the in-depth interviews that you've kind of come to expect out of tomorrow's books. There's also an index in the back of the book with more than 30 comic book podcasts that let you know where you can find them, what their web address is, what their RSS feed is. It's got a one paragraph description of the show that was written in most cases by the podcasters. Mm-hmm. So you can look through that, I hope, and get a sense of some other podcasts that you might like to listen to that you're not listening to.
And pictures to put faces to names.
And pictures to put faces to names. Well,
I didn't know that was going to happen.
No idea what you guys look like even now. You blindfold your guests, which I don't think most people realize.
You will find just how handsome
is Gene Coleman.
How handsome the podcast community is.
Yes. How good looking and suave we all are.
You get to see my bald spot.
Is there a section about how to podcast?
There is a how to podcast section that has a breakdown of all the equipment that each podcast in the book uses, so you know exactly what you need to do your own podcast.
Oh God,
is there anything that warns that discourages people from?
No,
I just
want to
know.
I want everyone to do one.
Yeah,
who do I have my lawyer contact when I eventually find a misquote in the book?
You will not find a misquote in this. I transcribed it myself. It was very faithful.
Okay.
There's a lengthy portion where you go on about how handsome I am.
Yeah, I remember that.
We actually have the interview that you did with us,
mm-hmm.
and I think we may still release that as an episode after the book is released. We may do some excerpts from it.
I think some excerpts would be a great idea.
Yeah. He's like, don't you dare release that.
Don't
entire...
you? I will. I've got a book to sell, Chris.
Son of a bitch.
No, maybe we'll do a trimmed down version of the interview and direct people. So, what was it? A fun experience?
It was a fantastic experience. Before I started putting this together, I just listened to these shows, pretty much all of them regularly myself, and just wanted to know more about what was going on behind the scenes, what went into the making of these shows, why these shows started, and also, you know, like I said earlier, I don't have friends. So this was a good way to...
Now you have podcast friends.
Now I have podcast friends.
What was
like
it?
Is that how everyone at Tomorrow's approaches their...
Writing? I need to figure out people that I like to become friends with, so I'll write a book.
I figured out their publishing scheme.
What was it like talking to Gene Colan and Matt Fraction?
What,
and
did he say anything about me?
No.
Damn. Oh. He said, go fuck yourself.
He said, that guy owes me about $50.
That creepy son of a bitch.
That was fantastic. That was definitely one of the best parts of the project. Part of what I wanted to do with the book was also talk to people who had been on podcasts and get a sense of what it was like from that side of the microphone, and also what, you know, that had done for people's careers, if podcasts were making an impact on sales, like at Marvel, or Tim Seeley's also interviewed in the book, so a smaller publisher like Devils Do. See what their opinions were on that. And then a guy like Gene Colan talked to him a little bit about how podcasts and the internet, what they're doing for his career now that he's basically working for himself, now that he's retired from monthly comics and doing a lot of work with, you know, just doing fan commissions. And so talking to him about how the internet as a whole has really turned things around for him and brought him a lot of work that he wouldn't have had otherwise.
Nice. Anybody talk shit about us?
Yes.
Give me their fucking names.
Really? Everyone.
They all did.
Every time I send an email, would you like to be in the book? Is Around Comics in the book?
Please. They wouldn't dare.
No, everybody... The podcaster...
It's a pretty friendly community.
Right. As you guys know, it's an amazingly friendly community. Everybody was really positive about everybody else's shows.
Except for iFanboy. Fuck them.
Wow. I like iFanboy.
No, they know I'm joking.
Are we trying to start some sort of feud for ratings?
Yeah, we need to.
I think Chris is trying to get me fired from
tomorrow.
I said
years ago, I will box anyone else in the comic book podcasting world.
Boxing.
I will. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Foxy boxing.
You know, wrestling, jello wrestling.
Windy City Comic Con.
Pancake batter wrestling.
Ooh.
You know,
and then the loser has to eat the pancakes. from that batter.
Oh, that's,
you got it. Everyone, Cells challenge everyone to a pancake batter wrestling contest.
I'll take you on.
When did he come across?
So what's up? What's wrap up on the podcast companion? Yeah, what does it retail for?
It retails for, I believe, $15.95. Again, 15% off at twomiles.com, 40% off at Discount Comic Book Service, or order it from your LCS.
Or Amazon.
Or
anywhere.
Or Borders, or Barnes & Noble. Tom will drive one over to your house.
Get battered in the batter.
Well, Eric, I can say, all joking aside, it really was an honor to be a part of the book, and we really appreciate it.
And thank you, good. And there's, I appreciate now, all of your help in helping me put it together, too.
There's now evidence
of our stupidity.
There's written in a book.
It's published.
But it's published,
so it's got to be true.
It's got to be. Everything in it's true.
And there's a picture of Tom wearing an Iron Man mask drinking a beer.
It's worth the $15 just for that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a part that says, forget that, and I'm pretty sure I said, fuck that.
Yeah.
Because I would never say forget that.
Lawyers!
Does it have brackets around it?
I understand. It's like, you fixed all my terrible grammar. I use a lot of double negatives.
You do? You say y'all a lot?
Y'all. I like doing the podcast.
Y'all.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you, guys. And, yeah, please, if you're interested in the book, please do pre-order it. I think you'll enjoy it.
What is the street date for the book?
The street date is May the 20th.
It drops on May 20th.
Drops hot.
May 20th.
It's unseasonably wet.
All right, outstanding. Well, I tell you
what, my book just dropped.
I can't wait to read it. I want to see. I mean, not only us.
I want to read all the other interviews.
Mm-hmm.
From an interest standpoint.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So if you like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that listen to these shows and all the different podcasts. So what the hell?
Yeah,
go buy the damn thing, goddammit.
Yeah, and I think it's
don't fucking charge you anything. The least you could do is buy this book.
Yeah.
Think of everything we've given you.
Yeah, years of entertainment and laughs and crying and.
Sal,
joy and
Sal was thin
love.
When we started.
I was.
It's because of this show.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking, looking at these pictures in this book, it really shows my on again, off again coke addiction, because I go from, you know, rather svelte to fat to a little lighter to fatter.
I really shouldn't have included the picture of you snorting cocaine.
Well, the hooker was there, so.
Right.
What the hell?
We see all of Chris's hats.
Yes,
we see the crazy lady from Wizard World Chicago.
That
sat down at our table.
There's a lot of pictures of all of the podcasters in here. There's also some original
Scotty
art.
Looking at me strangely.
That's one of my favorite pictures. I don't even know what the hell that was all about, but yeah, that's a good picture.
Yeah,
it's kind of erotic.
It's fun stuff. So after you pre-order the comic book podcast companion, you can give a little money to the Hero Initiative, because we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
Oh,
there we go.
You don't ring the bell for heroes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
All right, continue.
I'd like to thank everyone for giving us an iTunes music review in the last few weeks. Had a lot of them.
Yeah.
We're getting close to 300. Come on, folks. 13
that's a good,
more.
The
that's
magic
a good
number.
There you go. There you, for,
we've had a lot of new people on the forum.
Yes, we have.
They don't really post a lot, but
they're registered.
They're there.
Lurking.
They're
lurking.
Registered, lurking.
Come and post. Big Beefer King. Bama 794 and Jay and Silent Bob are three of our last iTunes music reviewers. So
I'm surprised Jay and Silent Bob was. It's not Jay and Silent Bob like 2020. Or in, that name wasn't taken.
It was
already.
An interesting spelling.
Oh,
on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do. You know, that reminds me of something I want to mention on the show about our friends Adam and Comfort Love.
Uh huh.
They both post under the same username on the forum, and it always freaks me out because I don't know who the
which
fuck
one is
which one's posting.
They
so guys,
posting.
You know. As they like left hand, right hand,
right.
Well, my
just type it
Sam
together.
Sam and I are going to start doing that when once we're married. Is that
Tom and Sam?
Whenever I'm going to change my username to Tom and Sam. She doesn't care about comic books, but I feel pretty strongly that her opinion will be the same as mine about the last issue of Action Comics.
Yeah, if she were to read it,
if
it,
she were
it
to read
more
it,
than likely
we would
be
see
the,
eye to eye on it.
Yeah,
and you'll never stop holding hands, so you'll need to type like that.
I think so, yeah. Well, when we type now, I use my right and she uses her left, and it's
well, beautiful. It's beautiful.
Speaking of Adam Urban and Comfort, they are Windy City Comic Con alum, and they will be back again this year for the 2009 Windy City Comic Con. Remember to make your plans now to attend that comic convention.
Battered in the batter.
It's taking place on September 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're adding over 30 new creators to our guest list this year, along with new retailers and an expanded programming schedule, which we are coming up with our programming schedule.
Yeah. John Sumptress and I will be wrestling in pancake batter Mike Norton will then make a beautiful pancake breakfast.
I see that you guys invited Cameron Stewart via Twitter.
Twitter, yes.
Yes, we did. I don't think he knew that
you were the same people.
Yeah. He assumed we were just two other idiots.
The programming schedule, we've already asked our good friend John Suntress, and he is going to be moderating all of the panels.
Chairman of the board.
Yep.
He's going to be, taking care of all
By moderating, do you mean he's going to just sort of point at people in the audience and yell at them? And just when
Hopefully.
Someone asks you a question.
We're actually thinking about setting up a tonight. We're going to set up a tonight show desk and couch.
What you're going to do is you're going to have like a video uplink from another room where people go to ask questions, so all the timing will be off. It's high tech.
YouTube. So head on over to WindyCityComicCon.com for more information. And also remember to purchase your ticket ahead of time. Free gift bags for the first 500 pre-registered guests. And tickets are only $10.
The first 10 get to pack the rest of the 490.
That's a hell of an idea. Yeah. All right, remember to check out Tom versus the Flash every week as he runs you through history of the DC Universe, one comic at a time.
I have 162 iTunes reviews, and I am at 162. I won't do a 163 until I get 163 reviews. So I'm going to threaten people with that.
Wow,
no,
ultimatum.
I'm kidding.
Wow, it is kind of karmic that way.
What was that?
It is kind of karmic.
It's weird. It's not.
I need to go write you a review.
Yeah, write me a review so I can do another episode.
I think I've written you a review, but I'll go see.
I'll write you a review.
I would write you a review, but I find it unethical since I don't listen. No,
it's not for everyone.
I'm just kidding.
It's not for everyone.
It is a fantastic show. It's Tom loves the Silver Age and does a better job than anyone of spotlighting classic Silver Age comics. You do a fantastic job with it.
It's the best Barry Allen podcast I listen to.
It's the only Barry Allen podcast.
Oh, don't say that. Someone will start one. There's three Green
It'll
Lantern
still be
podcasts
the only
now, I think.
There is another Flash podcast.
But
is
it
there?
Sucks.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I don't listen to that one either.
I listen to it.
I don't really know.
It's completely different.
Good. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. It's called Tim versus the Flash.
If you're not tired of hearing me, you can check out more of my ramblings along with Vince B, David Price, and Wood every Thursday or Friday whenever it comes out on 11 o'clock Comics. And we've had some fun episodes here of late. So
you guys need to stop talking about business.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's just.
Did you hear me today? I was like, I can't talk about this anymore.
I love listening to the show, but the 20-minute digression into
numbers.
Who cares?
Yeah, it's always good whenever you get Vince talking about comics from yesteryear.
Much rather the Loch Ness monster talk than the numbers talk.
Business talk.
I mean, they're both sort of
fantasy.
Man,
saving
so.
Comics, I got enough shit going on in my life,
I can't
like,
hit my own bullshit problems, let alone comics.
I got a wedding to plan. I got fucking tax returns piling up on my desk.
You know what? It's not very.
I just buy what I like, and if they can't make money on that,
too goddamn
bad. Then go out of business.
That's democratic of you, Tom. Because you know what? We're not here to bail out every goddamn company that can't make
a
fucking
living.
And
if you can't figure it out from there, go out of business. All right.
There you go. So, but we do have a great time at 11 o'clock. And actually, I think Sal may be sitting in for me while I'm on vacation. I was talking about that.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Hey, sure. Whatever.
You're committed to being on.
I did request to be on the, because you guys are coming up on your 50th.
Oh, yeah.
So I did request, I sent a little
Twitter
note. I did. It was actually a Twitter to Vince. And
I don't know if we're going to do a special for the 50th or the 52nd, because it's a weekly show, so I think we may do a special year. One for the for 52? The year mark.
Ah, 52. I don't care.
Whatever.
So, it was just a way for me to get back on the show and argue with Vince.
Sure. And I was giving shit to the iFanboy guys earlier, but check out iFanboy. It's good stuff.
Eh, they got enough listeners.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Eric, it was so nice of you to drive down all the way from the Twin Cities.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks, write this.
Oh, write this wonderful book. We appreciate it.
We won't take the blindfold off until you're out of the building.
I understand. I understand.
We'll sit you in your car.
Fire up the brand.
Because I will reveal your location.
Yeah, well, it's like the Batcave, you know?
We joke about the Windy City Comic Con alum, but we brand them as they leave.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Eric was at last year's show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show us your brand.
All right, but
No, that's the different one.
Different.
That was Tom's brand. That was
whoa! You said you weren't going to talk about that.
We call him Buffalo Bill for a reason. I mean, he.
You want to help me move this couch in my van?
He likes to brand his humps.
Was she a big girl?
It'd fuck me.
Tom and Sal, thank you as always. And
my pleasure.
Mr. Mark Beatty for hosting us here at,
up
at Dark Tower
eventually.
Comics and Collectibles. Yeah, we had it is full here,
it is packed in here. Everybody's
Let's
in
finish
here.
This episode
There's at
and
least
move on
like
to the next one.
Nine yes. other yes. podcasts in this building right now.
That's, all right.
There's if, enough if to there, do a book.
If there was a bomb to go off in this building, the,
podcast
the Chicago yeah. podcast community
we'd
would
be down to 500 comic book podcasts.
Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode with Jeffrey Brown. In the meantime...
In between time.
Thank you.
Sorry.
We'll be everywhere.
I was thinking of something else. I don't
and
know.
Around comics.
Oh, this book's getting...
I don't have anything.
It's erotic.
Did you include, like, Grant Morrison's Dawn of Mystery and all those clues throughout the book?
If you look at the first letter of every line, it spells out Tom's home address.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.
And the show. Let's do the next one. God damn. Son of a bitch.